Can I ask you, are you a shining star or are you a black hole? Shining star or black hole? Now, I want to speak on the little leaflet. I've printed out some of those words from Daniel chapter 12. I want to speak on that passage this morning. Let me just reread a few verses from verse 2. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life and others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Now, in this passage, Daniel is speaking about the end time, when this world, this universe that we know, comes to an end. And first of all, he speaks about what we call the day of general resurrection. He says, multitudes who are in the dust of the earth will arise. Now, often Christians get hung up about whether I should be cremated or whether I should be buried, as if there was some Christian difference. By the way, I've noticed something unusual about this church. I've noticed young people sit there, people without grey hair sit here, people here are with grey hair, and well, I'll leave you and work out the rest for yourself. But the Bible says all of us, every person in every generation that has ever been, one day will be raised from the dead. And it won't matter at all how you've died or been cremated or buried or buried at sea or whatever. You'll be given a new body, the Bible says. Not just the old Ford given a lick of paint. It will be a completely new body. But the Bible also says that that day of resurrection will be a day of judgment. Many who are dust of the earth will arise, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting shame and everlasting contempt. You'll see that in the passage there. Some to everlasting life, that is our great hope. Who are those people who are raised to everlasting life? Well, look back to verse 1. He calls them those whose name are written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, as it's called in the book of Revelation. So my first challenge is, are you sure this morning your name is written in the Lamb's book of life? Which is just another way of saying, are you trusting in Jesus for your salvation? Or are you trusting in yourself and your meritorious works? They and only they have their names written in the Lamb's book of life. Then he talks about another group. The other group will be raised to what he calls shame and everlasting contempt. To put it in the words of Jesus, Jesus says on that day, the day of judgment, he'll put the sheep on one side and the goats on the other. It's the same division that he's talking about there. Now, when the Bible talks about the fate of those who have not believed in Jesus, the Bible uses a number of difficult images. One image is they will be cast into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These are the words of Jesus. That's one image that's used. Another image that is used is Gehenna. Now, Gehenna is the name of the Jerusalem rubbish tip in Jesus' day. And it's the word that is normally translated by the word hell in your English Bibles. So to go to hell is to be cast onto God's rubbish tip. And again, to quote the words of Jesus, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, Jesus says, the worm that eats them never dies, and the fire that burns them will never go out. So that's the third image, the second image rather. The third image that the Bible gives is to be cast into the lake of fire. Now, I don't think that there are three different ends, depending how bad you've been, for those who have not believed in Jesus. You know, some get the outer darkness, some get Gehenna, and some get the lake of fire. I think Jesus is just giving a number of images to say, whatever you do, make sure you're in the right group. The sheep, I presume. We're never actually told whether it's the sheep or the goats. The sheep are usually the goodies. But Jesus says, do not fear the person who can kill the body, rather fear him who can cast you body and soul into Gehenna. So the Bible, even here, 500 years before the time of Jesus, when God is speaking to Daniel, does speak of this day of judgment, and it warns us to make sure you get it right in this life. But then he goes on to talk about those who have got it right, if I can put it that way, right in God's sense, and their names are written in the book of life. Some of those, he says, will shine like the stars of heaven. And he describes them as, you'll see, I've highlighted it, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Can I come back to my original question? Are you a bright shining star or a black hole? Now, in case you're not sure what a black hole is, let me give you a brief description. When you look at our sun, what is it? Well, it's a ball of burning hydrogen. And as it burns, and all those stars you see at night in the Milky Way, they're the same. They're balls of burning hydrogen. And as it burns, there's a nuclear reaction takes place, and the hydrogen is converted to helium, which does not burn. And the helium, because it's slightly heavier than hydrogen, it sinks to the centre of the sun. So how do I know this? Well, Google told me. And you might ask the question, well, what happens on the day when a sun has its last breakfast? That is, its last bit of hydrogen is left to burn. It's converted to helium. Well, what happens is an explosion and an implosion. Explosion followed by an implosion. The thing then blows up. It's called a supernova, or some of them are called supernovas. And this happens very quickly, in a matter of weeks. This has been observed. And then because there's this very strong gravitational force, because the helium has been converted into iron and heavy metals like mercury, there's a very strong gravitational force, it begins to pull all the stuff back into itself, including any stuff that happens to be in the neighbourhood. And that becomes, first of all, a white dwarf, and then it becomes a black hole. And the gravitation, the density of the thing, someone has once said, if you imagine that our Earth was a sun, a black hole is about the size of a plum. That's how dense it is, and pulls everything into itself. So that even if light wants to escape, it can't. The gravitational pull will pull the light back in. So no one's actually ever seen a black hole or ever will see one. Now, why am I using that illustration? In my 50 years of ministry, basically church-based ministry, it's my experience that most evangelical Christians, and by evangelical Christians, I mean they believe the Bible, they believe in Jesus Christ, they're church-going, are black holes. I have a saying, evangelicals do not evangelize. Now, I've been pastor of churches for a number of years, and the one thing a pastor really looks forward to, and I speak a couple of pastors here, so I speak to you, is the day when a church member comes to you and says, "Pastor, here's Bill Bloggs or here's Mary Bloggs. I've been sharing Jesus with them, and this person has become a Christian, and now they want to join our church." Now, I was pastor of two churches for a total of 8 years, which were both strong, well-taught, Bible-taught, evangelical churches. Let me ask you, in those 8 years, how many times do you think that happened to me? Someone brought someone to me, a congregational member, and said, "I've led this person to Christ and they'd now like to join the church." How many times do you think it happened?
Zero.
Hmm?
Zero.
Zero. It never happened. And I don't want to be cynical. I'm very positive. We live in the days after the day of Pentecost. But in my experiences, evangelical churches are very unproductive in terms of evangelism. A friend of mine who has just retired from the ministry said to me, a little bit bitterly, he said, "The Lord sent me to be a fisher of men, but I've ended up as keeper of an aquarium." It's true. And this really has disturbed me more than anything else in my life, because from the day I became a Christian, I began to think, how can we share this message better? And I want to help some of you to become shining stars. Many Christians, I'll use this illustration of a black hole. I know Christians who have been going to church week after week, sermon after sermon. Not only that, they go to Bible study during the week and they have Bible study and they've been sitting in the same Bible study for year after year, going over and over the same doctrines that they know perfectly well and going off to Christian conferences to hear more and more teaching. But no light is coming out. It's like a black hole. More and more substance, biblical substance, well, no, very rarely anything new is coming in and nothing is going out. Now, in recent days, I'm working on a way to try and reverse this. I liken that between the church and the world, there's like a great reinforced concrete wall. They find it impossible to come through the wall to us, and we find it very difficult to go through the wall to them. And I want to put some cracks in that wall, because I think it's been put there by Satan. So I've come up with this program called I'm Asking God for One. I introduced this at another church recently, a Church of Christ. And I'm asking for people, I'm not asking for everyone, because evangelism is not the gift of everyone. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. But I'm asking people to commit that God will give me one person to share the gospel with in the next 12 months. Now, that's not a big ask, is it? One person in the next 12 months. Whether the person becomes a Christian or not is not up to you or me. It's up to God. I am known as an evangelist, but my starting point is I cannot convert anybody. Only God can do that, okay? But we can share the words with them. We can share the concepts with them in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray God will take those words and write them in their heart. And you'll see that set out in my little diagram on page 3. How does it work? So I'm asking you to seriously consider making that commitment to God. Asking for one person in the next 12 months. Now, if you do, we will train you in what's called the Christianity Explained course. This is a 6-week course. It's been around for 40 years now, and I think be true to say hundreds, maybe thousands of people have become believing Christians through it. So if you say yes to this, you will be trained in the Christianity Explained course. Now, you'll either get one of these. Which will give you everything you need to share the gospel with another person for $30, or you can download it for free from the Christianity Explained website, okay? So either way. Trouble is, if you download it, of course, you don't get a nice folder, you get a bunch of paper, and then you've got to hold those together. So would you look, please, at the back, page 4. You can read the rest for yourself, which is basically a repeat of what I've been saying this morning. Halfway down, I'm asking God for one. These are the sort of people I'm looking for. We're looking for people who have a compassion for the lost, who have that vision that at the end there will be this division. Sheep and goats. Eternal division with no second chances. I'm looking for someone who will pray, God, lead me to one person in the next 12 months, as I said before. Now there's a cost in this, not a monetary cost. If you use the Christianity Explained course, which I have done many, many times myself, you need to meet with the person for 6 times. And each time, in my experience, will last about an hour. If they've got questions, might last a little bit longer. Okay, and I've said we'll provide you with training for that. Now, the only other commitment is that once a month, probably during morning tea time, the team, we hope, we'll meet together just to share how things are going, okay? For sharing and prayer, probably in that glass box or somewhere on the premises. I'd say during morning tea time, so you don't have to come out for another meeting during the week. And also again, can I repeat, you cannot convert anyone. Neither can I. But friends, can I just share with you, there is no greater thrill in this Christian life than knowing that you have helped someone go from eternal darkness and eternal lostness to eternal life and life with God forever. There's no greater thrill. But it is my personal experience, most evangelical Christians, Bible-believing, Christ-believing, evangelical Christians go to their grave without having had that opportunity to lead a person from life to death. Well, now, friends, if you, in your heart, feel that you would like to join this group, could I ask you to fill in the little bit at the bottom of the page 4, little grey box? give us your name, your phone number, etc., and answer a couple of questions. Do you need to be trained in Christianity Explained? So yes or no. Some of you are already using the course, that's great. So obviously you don't need to be trained. Do you want to receive this set that I showed you for $30 or to download or not? Can be downloaded for free. I'm not looking for a big group. I'm looking for those whose heart is full of, like Jesus. He looked on the crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. I'm looking for people with a compassionate heart for those who are lost. So if you want to join this little group, be part of it, please fill that in. Now you can either give it to me afterwards or to Weber or to Matthias, okay? Or maybe you want to go home and think about it and bring it back next week, that's fine, all right?